He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined on this fine Thursday afternoon, this is probably going to air Thursday evening, by somebody who became a really good friend of the lounge, somebody who I am really excited about to work with here moving forward on this new project that I've been talking about all week. And most importantly, somebody who has dealt with all of the technical difficulties that I've been experiencing over the last like 48, 72 hours. Lee, how are you holding up?
Yeah, well, we got started and then I lost internet. So we're passing that orb around, you know, for technical and internet difficulties. But we're here now for, you know, as long as we can. And then hopefully we at least get a little show out on the out on the waves today.
Well, fingers crossed. We'll see how well this goes. All right. So today on the show, we are going to be talking about Basketball Passport, giving you guys kind of an in-depth look at what the project is going to hopefully look and feel like on our end and on yours. It's also like a moving target. So the stuff that we say right now, like, don't necessarily hold us completely to it, because if the situation arises where we need to tweak certain things or we see the show pulling us in a different direction, we're going to roll with the way the places that wave takes us. And then on the back end of it, I'm going to introduce Lee to some of the clips that, from yesterday's press conference, just to see, Lee's kind of general thoughts on the Lakers, what he thinks about, the team here moving forward. But more importantly, to introduce Lee to Rob Pelinka Tech Bro Talk. That's always, fun to watch people. It was funny yesterday, Lee. I was doing the show because Jen was going to do a segment on Jared Vanderbilt's foot. And while she was kind of sitting off camera waiting to come and do her segment, she was like, I was playing a portion of Rob's pressers and the way that he talks and stuff. And after I was done, I went and sat down with her on the couch and she goes, "So like, he doesn't actually talk like that, right? He's still a human being, right?" And I'm like, "No, I don't know. It's hard to tell." I don't know if that's actually how he talks off the stage.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's a tough job. I mean, the expectations are high. Obviously he's come from being Kobe's agent for his entire career. So he knows what pressure is all about. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what to think of the Lakers this season. I mean, we'll get to that a bit later on, but we're nearly here anyway. The season has nearly begun because it's, we're beyond all the free agency and things like that. And now it's just training camps are opening, media days are opening. And so you're going to hear some pretty crazy quotes and see some pretty crazy hairstyles too. Jimmy Butler's, I'm waiting to see what he's got for us this season because he had the crazy one last year. So that's it. Everyone's looking for something just to get the games really ready and started.
Yeah, you know that we're getting close to the season because we're getting Ben Simmons in the lab tweets.
Oh, but he looks great. He looks really good this year. I think this is the year that he's going to take that next step because, he's obviously been working on his game. He's ready. And the thing is, I don't know why Ben still posts those sorts of highlights. I don't know who around him is like, "Go for it, man. Yeah, let's do it." He's got no self-awareness at all and does not know how to read any sort of a room because, to keep doing it is just opening himself up to more and more mockery. The only thing that matters is what we see on the court. Doesn't matter preseason, doesn't matter training camp, none of that. It's like when you get on the court, are you going to shoot the ball? And I mean, because the other thing is, God, his form is just atrocious. Oof.
He's left-handed. He shoots from the right side of his body. It's wrong eye.
You know, I think, I'm sure you've seen it. His first summer league, some of the shots he was hitting and the way he was playing, it was, you can understand where the comparisons of like the Magic and the LeBron and, you know, the build and the speed and the athleticism, the jumping, all that sort of stuff. I don't know. I don't understand how it's gone to this. It's regressed so far that it's now, you know, it's like, God, he looks even worse, you know? So,
yeah.
We'll see. I mean, I feel for Ben as well. You know, he's from Melbourne. I watched his dad, Dave Simmons, play in the Australian League back in the 90s. And I heard about Ben when he was only probably 14 or 15. And people were saying then he's going to the NBA and he's going to be, even saying he's going to be the number one pick. And I was like, well, let's see what happens. And he was, and it was great. And then it's just been a steady decline. Well, not even steady, really. It's been a pretty rapid decline in the last few years.
Yeah, it was like it fell off of a cliff, and it's been just steadily at that same place.
Yeah,
I do sincerely hope that he turns it around. Also, partially because I think there's a decent chance he winds up being a Laker at some point, and he's the next like clutch reclamation project. But no, let's talk about Basketball Passport. And a little backstory, right? You did an episode of the show, and I tend to normally catch up with guests after the show if they have a little bit of extra time. And I was asking you about, you know, how things were going with your travels and with the stories that you were telling. And, I believe I said something along the lines of like, it's been really cool to watch the project kind of evolve to now where you're producing almost like mini documentaries and you're telling these stories beyond just like the pickup games. And I think when you credited me for noticing that change, and I think it was your idea, right? Hey, what if we did a podcast to advance those stories, to build on those stories here, you know, beyond even those videos that you're producing, whether it be for your own social, whether it be for EuroLeague, whatever it would be. And I was like, deal. Like almost an immediate acceptance. I reached out to Bill Enever, who was 100% on board there at Odyssey. And ever since then, we've been kind of, you know, developing the ideas behind what kind of show we're aiming for. Once a week, you and I, right, we're gonna hop on here, or not on here. We have a youtube.com/@basketballpassport, which is fully set up. You can go and subscribe to the show there. The RSS feed also set up. You can find that everywhere that you find your podcasts. And on Sundays, you and I are going to look back on the previous week, look ahead to the week that is to come. Just kind of take people around the NBA, have a little bit of fun with it. But what I think makes this truly unique and, you know, unlike any other project out there, you know, that talks about the NBA or talks about basketball as a whole, is what we're going to be doing on Thursdays. And that's what we're really, really excited about.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing. It's been 2 years since I left doing basketball analysis on a daily basis to explore this idea of playing pickup basketball around the world. And it now has evolved into what we've branded as Basketball Passport, where it incorporates every sort of possible angle of basketball around the world, whether that's playing pickup games, whether that's attending games, whether that's, you know, being in countries where they have their own tournaments and their own events. All that sort of stuff is what I'm hoping to share with the audience and share my experiences and create more as well and bring people into it as well. I've got a Rolodex, kids probably don't know what that is, but a Rolodex of names of people around the world who I'm going to try to have on as guests as well and talk about what basketball is like in their city or country, or if I've been there and, you know, if I've even worked with some of these people in some ways. And so trying to just show how global the game is and how it is for everyone and how slightly different it is in different places, but how much fun it is and how much the storytelling becomes a factor here. And as you mentioned, I mean, you know, I do try to create little documentaries. I mean, minute and a half long documentaries to share where I've been and what I've done. And again, that could be me playing. It could be me talking to players who are either American or from anywhere in the world, and just get a little bit of insight into how basketball was for everybody growing up and what it's like now. And I also plan on doing a lot of that as well with the Atlanta Hawks players this year, because I'll be down at Hawks games. And again, when visiting teams come as well, I'll be asking you know, players about what it was like growing up for them. So, you know, it's really something that I feel is going to be appealing, hopefully, to people who like to travel, people who like storytelling, and just finding a way to show how the game connects us in so many different ways. Because, I mean, look at you and I, for example, completely different upbringings from different continents and countries, but we're talking about the same passion and the same love we have for the game, on completely different sort of levels and different areas. But, you know, my experiences have really shown me how EuroLeague basketball is unreal. It is so much fun. It's such a great experience for the crowd. And then playing in places like Japan or Brazil or South Africa, just again, like those experiences playing with locals is so much fun. And I really am excited to have an opportunity to talk about that and hopefully, you know, have people feel like they're going to be a part of it and they want to do it themselves. And also have people say, hey, maybe come out and play in this city or this country or wherever it is, and have, you know, people who are listening really contribute to the show.
Yeah, I that's the thing is, you know, with all of these new shows, with any new show that I work on, or whether it's mine or another show that I produce, the notion of community is, you know, absolutely crucial. And with these actual communities, like these regions around these famous courts all over the world, that's where you really see that sense of pride. It was funny. I was, you know, in preparation for getting ready to get going here and having some familiarity with some of the clips that we'll be playing or using in future episodes. I went on your social and I found, you know, clips of you talking to players after games about these specific regions. And it's really, really funny because you'll watch these guys go from like typical game recap voice where they're just like, you know, yeah, just trying to get better every day. Yeah. Just, you know, excited to pick up a big win here. Or if they lose, it's like, this is just 1-82. We just got to, you know, nice thing about the NBA is that you play a game a day or two later, yada, yada, yada. And then you'll ask them about, you know, whatever court it is that they may have grown up around or had some relationship with. And it's just like, it's literally, you could see the lights turn back on in their eyes. And it's like, oh my gosh. And this is, and that's the kind of passion that, you know, I'm hoping to bring here to the table, if we succeed in this, we will, properly convey that sense of passion from these courts and these stories all over the world.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Oh, for sure. And you know, Jokic and Luka Doncic and Giannis are the guys, you know, who I've spoken to. And Giannis, man, you know, he was down here and I think the Hawks won that game. I can't really remember. So, you know, usually the result of the game, you're sort of like, oh, man, if they lost, I don't know if he's going to be in the mood. He might even just blow the media off, you know, whatever. But when I spoke to Giannis, you know, man, it was like speaking to a little kid again, where he was just talking and really so happy to share the memories and what his experiences were with his brothers playing up there and the way he told the story. And so, yeah, I was really trying to capture that and again, put it out so people can see, like I say, if you say Giannis, 35 points, 12 rebounds, but you lost, well, you know, we just got to get at it and blah, blah, blah. We've all heard that a million times, but I hadn't heard him ever talk about his own court the way that he did to me. And that's where I felt really, really privileged, because I'm like, man, I'm asking questions that is bringing back good really good fond memories for him about where it all started. And yeah, that was great. And talking to Jokic and Bogdanovic about basketball in Serbia, they've been so great. And so I'm hoping I can really capture more of that this year and share it with the audience and have people see how, you know, so many, you look at players who make the NBA and you're like, man, that guy is just a great player and he probably just had a pretty easy journey. But for a lot of people, it wasn't like that. I mean, the greatest thing about Jokic is anytime he does anything, those little photos of the chubby kid, and it's like, this guy went on to conquer the NBA, become a champ, yeah, three-time MVP. And so, you know, there's a story there. And
I think when he was drafted, ESPN was in the middle of a Quesarito commercial.
The Taco Bell ad. Yeah, the 41st pick, I think he was. And it was like, yeah, Jokic. And I remember in his first season, because they had Yusuf Nurkic still in Denver, who was, you know, he's that tough guy. Yeah. He was a pretty good player. And it was like, man, Jokic, they very quickly sort of moved on Jokic there and moved off Nurkic, and it was like, that was a surprising move, but it proved to be the right one. So ultimately, that's it. I mean, you know, the players now, boys and girls growing up around the world, are seeing, you know, successful NBA players no matter where they're from. And I think that gives everyone hope and encouragement. And I want to be that sort of microphone for people where they can tell the story and see themselves potentially being in the NBA or the WNBA at some point.
I think also importantly, you know, bringing it back to the NBA side of things, you know, we're watching this evolution of the league where, you know, the top, you know, three or five MVP candidates for the last, you know, little stretch here have been internationally born players. And one of, I think, the fairest critiques of the sport to this point, or of the league to this point, is how little the NBA and its partners tend to do to actually tell fans about these players, you know, over the course of 82 games. So that, you know, you arrive to the playoffs and you still have people. I mean, you still have Charles Barkley mispronouncing some of these guys' names. And
oh, maybe, you know, maybe Charles is not a good example, because it really doesn't matter. Charles doesn't watch all that much basketball, you know. but like, I get your point, though. Yeah,
I think for like what I would like to be able to do is, you know, familiarize people with some of these players, because that. It is, the league is actually, from a talent standpoint, in an incredible spot.
Yes.
You see what some of these guys are doing on a nightly basis. We're heading into year two of Victor Wembanyama, and it's like, I don't even know where to set the ceiling on his game, you know? And somehow we've arrived at a point where Giannis is underrated. And then, you know, on top of it, you're seeing like, yeah, I think Jason Tatum is poised for another step forward here. They're saying that he's been really working on a shot. That could change things. And I just think like all of these stories on Sunday nights, you know, I'm really looking forward to telling those too, and examining the league, having a little bit of fun with it, laughing at it. You know, we'll look back at like the funniest thing from the previous week sometimes, or we'll have a funny spin on power rankings, whatever it is, whatever segment that we do. But, you know, I'd like to avoid hot take alley. I'd like to avoid like all of those things and have our fun in a productive way, you know, with the NBA at the very least every Sunday. And then, you know, with the occasional breaking news or emergency podcast, depending on what's going on in the league as well. You know, as you mentioned earlier, you stepped away from daily NBA coverage and now you're hopping back into it. After getting that little bit of a refresh, is there anything, you know, in that time away from it, that daily grind of it, because like people don't realize how much at work and time goes into even a half hour or 45 minute show on TV, in stepping away from it and now being able to come back, is there anything like specifically that you would want to, that you thought like in your time away, okay, if I could do it a little bit differently, this is how I would do it?
Good question. I mean, you know, I think the one point there, just to clarify, is like we're not going to be doing it daily. So I think, you know, in the sense, I'll obviously be following the league, you know, closer than I have in the last 2 years again, but not just putting together a show every day, because I think that was a part of the reason why I stepped away as well. It was the sort of, you know, exhaustion of just continually watching game after game after game. But what I have noticed, especially last season, not so much in the first season, but in last season, is it's great to be a fan again and not watching it through the eyes of an analyst all the time, where you're like, you know, you're watching a game and you're like, okay, I need to sort of find the story here and the angle and stuff. And so, you know, last year's playoffs, apart from the finals weren't all that good, but the playoffs I thought were really fun. Yeah. And it was great to be able to watch a game, enjoy the game, and then go about your business and not have to continually sort of find, like you say, a hot take or an angle or anything like that. And so it's not that I fell out of love with the game, but I just was something else came along. And now I'm finding I'm in a great position where I can combine both, where I get to explore world basketball and enjoy the NBA and stay connected to all of them, because now it is so intertwined anyway. That's what makes I believe I'm in a good position to have now accumulated knowledge and experience from around the world, so I can hopefully add that to what I've seen in the NBA. I still think the NBA, there are certain things that I wish they would change. I know they won't, and that is the amount of games they play, the amount of timeouts they have, you know, those sorts of things that I think really sap the energy out of you know, parts of the season and even parts of a game where it's just like timeout. You're like, just make it one timeout per team in the last 3 minutes and that's it. I just think those are the sorts of things that would add to the experience. But of course, it's all about money and advertising and things like that. So it's never going to change. They're never going to reduce the season as well. I know we've talked about that before. So you have to then just go, okay, well, this is what the NBA is, you know. But again, from the experience of watching EuroLeague ball, it's quicker games, it's shorter games. There's the, you know, you get to the game and you get to the completion and it's keeps you excited. Whereas sometimes when you're watching an NBA game in the third quarter, it's like it just feels like there's an hour to go before you're going to get to the end of the game. And that can just sort of drain you after over a decade of watching games up close. So I hope that my experience is, you know, refresh me. It feels rejuvenation. You know, I feel rejuvenated. I feel excited again to be able to talk about it, but not in that same way where it was like, Tuesday night, you're watching the Pistons and the Hornets and you're just like, oh, man, this is not what I'm in it for. So we'll see how it goes. But again, I think it's a great opportunity here with Odyssey, and hopefully people will find both of our shows interesting and captivating, and they'll have something to take out from them themselves.
For whatever reason, they felt that way about this one. And, you know, if we're able to replicate some of that success, then I'll consider it a good day at the office.